Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 23 this evening, Psalm 23. This morning we saw from Psalm 2, the Lord has installed His King. From 97, Psalm 97, we saw the Lord reigns. And tonight we see the Lord is my shepherd. And we have read the psalm, we have sung the psalm, we sang a song based on the psalm. Might as well read the psalm again. Before we get there, let me just say, many of us have memorized Psalm 23. You don't mention Psalm 23 that people don't recognize, oh, the Lord is my shepherd. Because it's in Christian culture often repeated and referred to. Even in pop culture, there's many references to. Many people know of this psalm. Once again, I'll be reading from the King James because I haven't memorized in the King James. And it's maybe I'm the only one, but it's just easier for that. But I'd like to give us a word of warning. There's an old saying, you're familiar with it. Familiarity breeds contempt. And what that tells us is things that we are really familiar with, especially if it's something that we've had a long time familiarity with. Maybe if it's something that we have maybe memorized by rote but not thought much about, then we may not place the importance on the thing. We may lose respect for the thing, but this is the Word of God. So it may be easy tonight as we consider the 23rd Psalm to disengage our minds, throw everything into neutral, but we would mistreat the Word of God. Don't do that. Let's stay engaged. If you found your way to Psalm 23, please follow along in your copy of God's Word as I read, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." God bless His Word. As we begin making some observations from this text, just to get the sense of it, these are some things that stood out to me in my study, and I think they're important enough for us to talk about. Often we hear this psalm, and what we hear is, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I lie down in green pastures. I am beside the still waters. My soul is restored." And we continue with this I, me focus. This psalm is about me. And if we read it in that way, we miss the main focal actor in this psalm. Isn't it amazing? We've spent all day in Psalms, but we keep talking about Jesus. Could it be that the whole book is about Christ? Could it be that the whole thing is focused on Him? If we look at this psalm and we don't see the first two words, "the Lord," He is the main actor. He is the main one. The covenant-making, covenant-keeping God of the universe is the one mentioned in this song, and He is the one who is our focus. And it should be on Him as we look to this psalm. There is certainly mention here of the benefit to the sheep. All those things are true, and we do benefit from those things. There's a true benevolence from the Lord for His people. But we want to not focus on the gift or the gifts, and we want to focus on the giver. If we take the Lord out of Psalm 23, there's nothing here. He is doing so much here. But there's a tendency for men to think of the gifts and to disconnect even our faith from its object. So we can't read this text, we can't read anything in the Bible in a completely self-centered mind. Think of the child who wants to receive gifts from parents and grandparents and then pay no attention to the parents and grandparents. We call that child spoiled. We call that child entitled. But many of us, we treat the Lord that way. We need to remember that God is the focus, and we'll see here even more specifically, the Lord is my shepherd. Yes, it's God that we're speaking of, but more specifically that we're speaking of Jesus Christ. And here, we learn some things as God teaches us using an agricultural metaphor. Now, if you've read the Bible almost at all, just this morning we were speaking about the agricultural things in Scripture and how much we learn from that, and that's what we have before us. So here we should employ our minds to think about all that we know about sheep and shepherds and shepherding as we come to this psalm. For some of us, that may be easier than others. Others, we may have to learn some new things about the subject of sheep and shepherding. And we think of God, we think of our triune God as shepherd, but I mentioned specifically, particularly here, we should have Jesus Christ in mind, God's anointed, the King of Kings, the second person of the Trinity, God's Son as shepherd. 1 Peter 5 refers to Jesus as the chief shepherd. Sometimes you hear pastors called the under-shepherds, but Christ is the chief shepherd. According to John's Gospel, chapter 10, Jesus is the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Hebrews 13 calls Jesus the great shepherd of the sheep. Throughout the New Testament, we learn that the shepherd knows his sheep. Jesus said that. I know my sheep. They hear my voice. They follow me. They obey my commands. The sheep hear his voice, know his voice, and follow him. Several years ago, we had a young man in our church who was a shepherd. Through FFA and the help of his parents, who were really into agricultural stuff, he had a flock. Not just one or two. He had a flock of sheep. And we were at their house for some reason. I don't remember why. But the neighbor's sheep got in with his sheep. They're all mixed up. So Hadley just went out and called his sheep. And when he called his sheep, the most amazing thing happened. They came. And the other sheep jumped back over the fence and went home. His sheep, he turned to me and said, "Preacher, this is just like in the Bible. My sheep heard my voice." That's exactly what happened. That's why we have this illustration and this agricultural metaphor. That's why we're given this. His sheep hear his voice, know his voice, and obey him. The shepherd is the source, the provider of all good things that come to the sheep. So as we read this, "The Lord is my shepherd," we could put a therefore. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore, because of this fact, as a direct result of the Lord being my shepherd, what do we see? I shall not want, so I want for nothing. I lie down in green pastures. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I drink beside still waters, but he leadeth me beside the still waters. My soul is restored, but he restoreth my soul. I have no fear. I am comforted. The table is spread in the presence of mine enemies. My head is anointed with oil. Goodness and mercy follow me. All of this, why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Shepherds rule. You might say, shepherd's reign. The shepherd doesn't come to the sheep and say, where would y'all like to go today? What would you sheep like to do? The shepherd leads. The shepherd guides. And he leads and guides in a way that is beneficial to the sheep. He has their best interests at heart and in mind. He feeds them. He waters them. He gives them the shelter that they need. He protects them from predators. This is what a shepherd does. What does sheep do? I mean, if we're thinking about shepherds, we've got to think about sheep. The sheep follow. Sheep obey. The sheep love and trust the shepherd. And this offers us an opportunity as we look at this psalm to examine our own hearts, to examine our own sheepish behavior, to see if we have sheepish behavior. Now, if you've ever had goats, you know why the scripture says they're the people from Satan. But as we think about sheep and goats may be mixed. Some people, maybe some of us here today, would have trouble telling the difference between sheep and goats, especially if you just hear their bleating. Some would say it all sounds the same to me. But goats are different. Goats are very different from sheep. Goats can survive without much help. Goats can take care of themselves a lot compared to sheep. Here's the point. Sheep have a real dependency on a caregiver, on a provider, on a shepherd. Sheep need a shepherd. Christians, you need a shepherd. Christianity is about following closely to our shepherd. We who are sheep, hearing his voice, staying tuned in and attentive to what he says. So we should take opportunity as we're here to examine, to search our own hearts. The Lord is my shepherd. And can you say that of yourself? The Lord is my shepherd. Are you a sheep? Each one of us who are Christ's sheep can have this on our lips. The Lord is my shepherd. And it's a comfort to us. It's calming when we have fears. The Lord is my shepherd. It settles our anxiety. The Lord is my shepherd. And there's something here. Notice it's not the Lord is a shepherd. It's more than that. The Lord is a shepherd, but it's not just the Lord is a shepherd. And here it's not the Lord is our shepherd. Now, that's certainly true, isn't it? For the church of Jesus Christ, the Lord is our shepherd. And I fear that in the church today, there's not near enough emphasis on the congregation of the saints. There's not near enough thinking and speaking about the assembly. I'm talking about the plurality of God's covenant people. Each Christian is a member of the covenant community of believers, and we hear way too much of individualism. But without detracting from the community, the covenant community aspect of God's people, consider this text. The Lord is my shepherd. This is deeply personal. The Lord is my shepherd. It implies great benefits to me personally. And if the Lord is your shepherd, it implies great benefits to you personally. It intimates personal relationship and personal responsibility. The Lord is my shepherd. Christians, we can have the assurance of salvation in Jesus Christ that lets us testify, the Lord is my shepherd. There's much that could be gleaned just from these five words, the Lord is my shepherd. But we need to move quickly. We need to move forward. The benefits that are listed here for those who are the sheep of the great shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall not want. I have no lack. God supplies all our needs according to his riches in glory. Now, I may have desires. I have an overactive wanter sometimes. I want. Maybe you do too. We want. We have desires, but many of those desires, we're not wise enough to know what we need. We need a shepherd. And the Lord is our shepherd, therefore we do not want. The desires that we have that are not realized in our life, we don't have those things in our life because they're not what we need. The Lord supplies and provides our needs. And we need to work on being content. Contentment to learn to have joy with what God has given us and to not be grasping for the things that we don't have. Christ's sheep cannot complain of lack or of want. We do not lack. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. When you find yourself in green pastures, don't pat yourself on the back for how well you did to get yourself there. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. When you drink from cool, flowing streams, when your thirst is satisfied, do we acknowledge that it is by God's leading that we are there? We give thanks. These elements of this metaphor, the green pastures and the still waters, how should we see that? John Gill says, by these green pastures, maybe meant the covenant of grace, its blessings and promises, where there is delicious feeding, also the flesh and blood, righteousness and sacrifice of Christ, which faith is led unto and lives upon, to which may be added the doctrines of the gospel, with which Christ's under-shepherds feed his lambs and sheep, there being milk for babes and meat for strong men in them. And likewise, the ordinances of the gospel, here Christ's sheep are made to lie down, denoting their satiety. That's hard to say, but it means we are satiated, we are satisfied, and our fullness. So Gil touches on this, but if we're going to put a label, what is it to be lying down in green pastures? I would say one thing for sure that is meant here would be the means of grace. To be fed in these green pastures. To be led beside still waters. Now, this morning we looked at the blessed man planted by rivers, and that fit in that metaphor. This is a different picture for us. And here we see still waters. Because if you have sheep, you don't want to take them to the raging river where they would fear. You want to lead them beside still waters. If you find yourself in a church, I'm not speaking of this church, if you find yourself in a church, in a place spiritually where you're surrounded by tumult, where the waters are sour and brackish and raging, where your spirit is tossed to and fro by violent waves, false teaching, false teachers. That's not the place where the shepherd wants to lead you. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. Leads me in the path of righteousness for his namesake. Since man's fall into sin, since Adam's transgression, the soul of every man is ruined. But for those who have been given by the Father to the Son, we are restored. He restoreth my soul. And we no longer wander about dead in trespasses and sins. Now he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. These are great benefits because the Lord is my shepherd. I've heard people present Christianity as though it's all sunshine and roses. It's just happy clappy all the time. In case we get that false impression, we have this next statement. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, the valley of the shadow of death, some people think about that and they think, well, that must be death. Well, no, the valley of the shadow of death is not death. It's that that comes before death. It's the here and now. We are walking in the valley of the shadow of death. And it doesn't say that we may one day walk in the valley, that though I walk, this is even now, I am walking and you are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But this text says of the sheep of the shepherd, I fear no evil. What a statement. No fear. No fear. There are some really imprudent people. I put that here because my wife doesn't like me to say the word stupid. There are some really imprudent people who have no fear. There's no good cause for them to be fearless. It's just evidence of foolishness. All wise men have a prudent sense of fear. Unless there's some factor, some reason to not have fear. So if this says the sheep do not fear, what is the factor? How do we have this confidence? What is the thing? I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou art with me. The Lord is my shepherd. Even though I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I am not afraid because he is with me. If we make some application here, this valley of the shadow of death, the world in which we live, there are times when we face some awful things. There are times when we face death, our own, or those, that the death of a loved one. There are times that we face the threat of death. This valley of the shadow of death can be a dark and scary place. Especially over the last couple of years, some of us have seen the valley of the shadow of death like we've never seen before. We've been affected by sickness and by death. And the pandemic has become a word that is just part of everyday life. These are difficult times that we're living in, but I guess that could be said about any time. Difficult times, difficulties with pandemics and politics, political unrest, and we've seen rioting and changes in our nation's leadership. The economy is like watching a roller coaster. Many of us have had fears that plague us. Fear for health, fear for financial stability. Perhaps you fear that the freedoms that we enjoy will somehow be taken away. I wonder how many of us, no matter how we have reacted outwardly, inwardly we have been gripped with fear. And we have to say, at times, fear is my shepherd. I have so much want. Fear makes me to neglect feeding on the good things of God. Fear leads me beside raging rivers. Fear leads me in the path of worry and anxiety and timidity, and I fear more and more. Fear anoints my head with sweat and worry lines. We can say, when fear is our shepherd, my cup is empty. Christian, perhaps we need to repent of acting unsheep-like. As we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we should say, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Now, maybe we have to pray like the apostles, right? Lord, we believe, help our unbelief. Lord, I have no fear, help my fear. Trusting in you. Maybe you've had fear for some reason, fear of things, and we need to turn to Christ. Or maybe some of you have had no fear. Maybe because of lack of wisdom, maybe because of ignorance, maybe because you don't believe that Satan is like a roaring lion roaming about, seeking whom he may devour. Maybe because you think you can handle what comes your way. Sheep say, I fear no evil, for because thou art with me. He is with me. So, Christians, act wisely. Christians are to be wise as serpents, right? When we're faced with the dark forces of the valley of the shadow, we continue to exercise the good sense God gave us, but we don't fear because we know that the Lord is my shepherd and he is with me. Fear, anxiety, worry, fretting, these are common in our day. And I'm not trying to make some statement over the diagnosis that we see. But often, these responses are sinful when they come from a lack of faith, a lack of leaning on the Lord. We sing, great is thy faithfulness. But when we give ourselves to fear, maybe we should sing, your faithfulness is not so great. I mean, the worry hymn would be, how great thou art, but I fear that you're not great enough to handle things in this situation. Maybe we don't verbalize these things. We don't actually sing those kind of songs, do we? But for some of us, our inner man lives in fear. For some of us, our outer man lives in fear. This should call us to repentance when we see the psalmist say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Text says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Rod and staff. This speaks of the loving guidance as well as the loving chastisement of the Lord. Sheep, take comfort in the leading of God. We may prefer it when it's easy, but even when it's difficult, even when it's chastisement, the rod and staff of the Lord is still comforting to us. As we feel the irritation of sanctification, at the same time we are comforted because the Lord is working in us. One use for the rod is to count sheep, to hold in the doorway and as the sheep pass under the rod, to count the sheep. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. His rod comforts me because I do not escape the notice of the great shepherd of the sheep. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Maybe we could request a table further away. Further away from our enemies. But the Lord provides for us and He nourishes us in the presence of our enemies. And we still have no fear because He is with us. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. This is not just found nourishment. This is prepared nourishment. This is not just accidental nourishment. It is prepared for us. God's provision is a great blessing for His sheep. Matthew Poole commented that though my enemies may see the table prepared before me, they may envy it, they may fret at it, but they will not be able to hinder it. He prepares a table before us in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. See, we started with the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He provides our needs. And He does provide our needs. But now, He anoints our heads with oil. Oil speaks of more than providing for our needs. Oil had so many uses. It was used as a cleanser. It was used as a medicine. It was used as a perfume. But it's not just basic needs. This is beyond that. This is beyond basic necessities of life. The provision and blessing of the shepherd to the sheep is not just the bare minimums. He anoints our head with oil, and our cup runneth over. We've gone beyond abundance to redundance. This imagery of the cup, it's the cup for the wine that makes the heart merry. Augustine called this cup the cup that caused the martyrs to go on to their deaths giving thanks. My cup runneth over. We must ask with such a great wealth of blessings that we receive from the shepherd as His sheep. What is our response? How should we respond? What are our duties? Someone has said that the rain that falls on the mountains must flow to the valley. This is to say that as we receive blessings from God, Christians, we are to be instruments of blessing for God, to others, in God's name. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Listen to the confidence. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. This type of confidence is only the confidence of the sheep who are in the Lord, who are part of His pasture, who can say, the Lord is my shepherd. I pray today that you can say, the Lord is my shepherd. I pray that you know the comfort and security of being in his fold. My hope is that you grow from lambs, that you grow into sheep, growing in your faith. If today you can't say the Lord is my shepherd, you're not one of Christ's sheep, will you hear the call of the shepherd? The call and the command. The Lord is now commanding all men everywhere to repent of your sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that you may be saved. The Lord is my shepherd. And if he is not your shepherd, come to Jesus by faith, repenting of your sin. Place your trust in him so that you too can say, the Lord is my shepherd. God, we thank you for your great provision. We thank you that you are our shepherd. That you have not resigned this position, given it to someone else, pawned us off, but that you truly care for your sheep. God, we pray that you'd apply these things to our hearts. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen.